This morning, we had indeed quite a number of things we talked about, and I'm convinced that God has blessed us, given us more overview, more insight, more understanding to know how to behave in certain situations, to react, to judge them. And it is really very important that we as believers do not remain stuck in our infancy, as it says in Hebrews 6, but go forward to perfection, so that God can also come to His right with all of us. We will continue with Luke 10 in a moment, but before we do that, let me say the following. There might be the impression that someone thinks they have to imitate what others have done. Please understand once and for all. Peter walked the streets of Jerusalem. His shadow fell on the sick. Did Paul do the same? Did James do it too? Did John do it too? No. It was a unique walk, a one-time leading of the Lord with this man of God. Not a repeat. When the sweat and handkerchiefs were taken from Paul, were they taken from Peter? Were they taken from James? Were they taken from John? No. You see, God leads each one of His servants so original, and an imitation is no longer an original. Every man of God has his calling, his task, and not one can take over what the other has been given by God. It would be terrible if someone or if many would get the impression, if now some sister had on her heart to send a handkerchief here so that I wipe the sweat here, and God helped her. That was her way, but that is not your way. That was her way. Do you understand that? What your way will be, we will see. It can be completely different. Please, don't copy anything. Do everything under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And this only when faith becomes a revelation, namely the revelation of what you are to do and how you are to do it. I will give you another example. In the days of Jesus, there were many people who came around Him. Every healing, every salvation, every help was different. One time the Lord spat into the sand and mixed a paste and put it on the eyes. Did He do it again, please? No. One single time He did it, and not a second time. Read the four Gospels. Each case was a case in itself, completely different. God wants to get us to where we are really led by the Spirit and copy absolutely nothing. There was a great question recently whether the ministry that Brother Branham had should not be continued in that way. Beloved, the preaching has been the same by all. Peter preached what John and James and Paul preached. The preaching is always the same, but the ministry and the tasks that brothers have to do, they can be quite different. I have even been asked if I have the ministry of Brother Branham. Sometimes I wish I had it, but I know that such callings only come once. And therefore, I am already satisfied with what God has given us. But so much we can say as an example. There are indeed people who imitate it. I have experienced it in Breda, in Holland. I have experienced it in different countries, by different people, in the city of Stuttgart. I have seen it here and there, when I was still translating and so forth, that people tried to imitate Brother Branham, with the only difference that none of them checked the case he was talking about, just shouted into the assembly that there was someone who had stomach ache or something. And such people are in every meeting, especially if they have eaten too much beforehand, and you really find them everywhere. But it got really bad in Stuttgart when this man from America actually shouted into the crowd, and I was his translator, and he shouted, "There is a sister," and he kept saying it, and the sister didn't answer. And at last a brother took pity on this poor man and wanted to get him out of the embarrassment. And then he said, "Oh, it doesn't matter whether it's a sister or a brother." And then I threw in the towel. Then it was over. Then I said, "So that's it." That was many, many years ago. I only mention these things to show you that there is only one original every time. And everything else is an imitation of the original. Was the ministry of Moses the ministry of Elijah? Or the ministry of Elijah the ministry of Abraham? Or the ministry of Noah? Each ministry and task was different. But one and the same God, who works all in all. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. It is one God, but many ministries, one Spirit, but many gifts, one Lord, who works all in all. No one needs to copy another if he has an original calling. May God also put these references into our hearts, so that we may know what he is doing or what path he is walking with us, and none need to be ashamed. See, even when you get older, then many people get into trouble and say, "Yes, Lord, you are my doctor." But God has said, "I will carry you into old age until you grow old and gray." He has not promised us eternal youth in this body. He has promised us the transformation of this body, which is subject to mortality and corruption. And then it is written, when the corruptible has put on incorruption and the mortal has put on immortality. Pardon? It's nice when the people are in the matter. You all know 1 Corinthians 15, and you can read it there. This will happen at the moment of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are people who say the Lord has already come. That must also be, so that the scripture is fulfilled. If they say Christ is here and Christ is there, do not go there and believe it not. For as the lightning rises from the east and shineth to the west, so shall the return of Jesus Christ be. And when that happens, two will be on one bed, one taken, one left behind, two in one field. Then at least a few people must be missing. And to the annoyance of some person, I said somewhere in a large meeting where there were also brothers who thought that the rapture had already taken place. And then I said, as long as Brother Frank is still on earth, no rapture has taken place yet, and that only offended a few. But I believe that by grace I will be allowed to be with a blood-bought multitude, whom the Lord loved, and who loved Him, and who waited for His coming. There is a wonderful scripture that we should not forget, which says, who loved His appearing. Have you ever really read it consciously? Not just talking about His coming, not just believing in His coming, not just waiting for His coming, but those who loved His coming. Shall I read it to you? Perhaps I will find it. I'm not prepared for that. Should be in the letter to Timothy, where the Apostle Paul says that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's written in verse 8. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 or verse 7 included. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Now a question. You do not need to put your hand on your heart, but in a figurative sense, be honest. Who among us longs for the return of Jesus Christ? Who is in the first burning love as a bride for the bridegroom, that he almost cannot hold out until he meets the bridegroom? We have the promise that we are to come back to the first love, and all this will become quite different with all of us when the final work of God will take its course. The cry Maranatha will be heard again as it was in the beginning. Everyone will say to everyone, the Lord comes, the Lord comes. Do you believe that? Oh yes. Now there may be some little cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. But I don't have the impression yet that everyone has awakened from sleep. And if we have, we have not yet washed our eyes properly, let alone put eye salve on them. Some things the Lord must and will still do for all of us by His grace. But one thing we may know, the last message is the call. It's the wake-up call that goes forth now. Do you all believe that? At midnight there was a cry made. At evening time there should be light. And at midnight the cry. God gave light at evening time to then impose a mighty cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet Him. We want to belong to the people who love His appearing. Who can love His appearing? He who loves Him. And who loves Him loves his neighbor. He loves His word. He loves everything that comes from God and is born of God. Let us briefly go to Luke chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 17. Following on from what we have already looked at this morning, the 70 then returned full of joy and said, Lord, even the evil spirits are subject to us by the power of your name. Do you see what this is about? They didn't say, all right, we have now authority and the thing is running smooth. They gave God the glory, and they knew this authority is in the name of Jesus Christ alone, in the name of Jesus alone. Beloved, let us take this to heart. There is a divine authority that is true, But divine authority is not separable from the name of Jesus. All that God gave us, He gave us in Jesus. And therefore, His name, everything that has been given to us by God, is in that name. And therefore it is written, Lord, even the evil spirits are subject unto us through thy name. That was not the man, not one of the 70, who said that, I have authority, look at this thing, this and that was done through me. Forget about me and you, and attribute everything that God does to God. Not a man saves, and not a man heals. God saves, God heals. Man merrily proclaims the word of God and leaves the rest to the Lord. And then it goes on. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. This is also very important. When we hear God's word, proclaim it, and also believe it, then we simply have to know that Satan is overthrown, that Satan is defeated, that Jesus Christ is the victor of Calvary. If we have not received this through a revelation in faith, then we will think we still have to deal with the devil. And then I can tell you right now how that would turn out. If you mess with the devil, you will lose out. Don't you worry. But if you know in faith that the Lord has defeated him, and that faith is also our victory that has overcome Satan, the world, and sin, then it is the faith in the victor of Calvary with which you can put the enemy to flight. Then again, it is not you, and then it's not me. Then it is the Lord who has done it. And we give him alone the glory. But if someone still thinks he has to deal with the enemy, that would be something very bad. I don't want to experience it or watch it. That would not be good. Let us believe in a truly accomplished work of redemption. Jesus Christ has crushed Satan, the head of the old serpent. He has taken away the sting of death. Death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gospel. This is the full gospel. And when a person is given this by God through faith, it makes us feel good. Then we do not see ourselves exposed to the powers of darkness like a plaything, but then we have already taken the victory of God through faith and know that Satan is defeated, hell is conquered. And as it is so beautifully said, death is then no longer death for the believer. It is simply a passing through the valley of death from this world into the hereafter. For thus saith our Lord, he that believeth in me shall live even though he dies. Let me read on here, for I want to be brief, so that even those who have come from afar may return home in time. Verse 19. Behold, I have given you power. Do you hear? I, says our Lord, has given you power. It is not you who have it. I have given it to you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? That is the gospel that makes happy. That brings us to rest in God. And we know that all enemies have been defeated, and that the victory of the Redeemer is the victory of the redeemed. I am redeemed. I may well boast. Redeemed by the Redeemer's blood, as this German hymn goes. As surely as the blood of the Son of God flowed on the cross of Calvary, so surely have all the sons and daughters of God been redeemed. That was the new covenant in his blood, and all who believe in it are saved and receive forgiveness of their trespasses and sins. Man is not lost because he was born in sin. Man is lost because he does not accept salvation. Every person can accept salvation and need not be lost. I have a word here from James 4 that I want to read to show us how we can resist the thing. James 4, actually verse 7, but it won't hurt if we start with verse 4. Know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. A very serious word. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, and now comes the thing, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is the prescription. That's the medicine. That's how we get well in the faith. Not friends of the world and friends of God. Not with one foot here and the other there. But a complete decision for Christ. And then humbling ourselves before God. Let go of all arrogance. Humbling ourselves, and not only that, to submit to God, to submit to His Word, bowing to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Any person who wants to resist Satan can only do so, as it is written here. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Yes, only then we can resist the devil. When we have submitted ourselves to God, when we have acknowledged Christ as our head, only when He has become our Lord, as Brother Branham says so clearly in that sermon, you invited Christ. You wanted him to be your savior because you were afraid and did not want to be lost. But then you left him at the door. You did not allow him to be in charge of the whole house. You have a chamber here and one there, and you have reserved them for yourselves. And then he said, many want Christ as Savior, as Redeemer, because they are afraid that they will go down. But they don't want him as Lord, as King, as the one who rules over them. Divine submission means, as the handmaid looks to her mistress, that is how we look to our Lord. We are subordinate to him, and Christ is the head of the church, and we are the members. And then it happens that we can resist the devil, and then he flees from us. And then it says here, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That is also true. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Sometimes, and I want to say this freely and openly here today, sometimes I'm saddened when not everyone joins in the closing prayer. And then I ask myself, didn't the word do anything? Did I not say what God wanted to say? And then I examine myself again and again. Beloved, we cannot come here with our mouths closed to give glory to God. For this, it will be necessary to open our mouths and offer the praise of our lips to the Lord. There are, of course, meetings where only one prayer is said, and then comes the Amen, and the people are really happy when the Amen comes, and then they go home gladly. But it's not like that here. Do you know what we have already experienced? The brothers and sisters are here today. When I said we can do actually without our Sunday afternoon meetings on our monthly meetings. But what do you think came next? Then it really came. We come from so far, and we want to take as much of the Word of God as we can. Please, don't do it to us. Leave the Sunday afternoon as it is. God will send a hunger into the land. Not a hunger for bread or water, a hunger to hear the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is proclaimed. The hunger is here. But then, I still have something to say. Let us, when we go into prayer later, really thank the Lord. God understands every language. And you have to think of it like this. While we are praying here, thousands and thousands of people are praying to the Lord all over the world. If God had divided it up in such a way that every country, every city, every church would get 10 minutes so that everyone could pray in single file, one after the other, then that would be a different matter. But God has arranged it so that he is omnipresent, that he hears and sees everywhere, that he participates in the meetings. There could be 1,000 people praying here at once. In Moscow, just as in Beijing, also in New York, and New Delhi, everywhere. And no one needs to give space to the thought, but to whom shall God listen now? Mr. X or Brother Y? If everyone prays to God, God is not like you and me. We have trouble when two talk and one listens. Then it's already very bad, true or not. most of the time it's better if one talks and two listen. You know the conversations, where it's sometimes like this and sometimes like that. And then you have to say, please, please, one at a time, so that we understand everything. With God, it is completely different. I can read it to you from Romans, from the book of Acts. They raised their voices to God with one accord. And when we reach the point of one accord, then we can raise our voices with one accord. And I assure you, God understands every language. He hears every word. We cannot grasp God. We sometimes think that people know a lot, and this cannot be denied. But God, we cannot yet fully understand. God is truly omnipresent, a personal God who directly hears, perceives, and responds to what you and I, what we all say. We need to know this, otherwise we will think, but now that we are all praying together, who is God going to listen to? Shall I tell you? If 500 people were praying together here today, and you were to ask me who God would hear from all of them, would you believe that I could tell you all 500 of them? Did you hear that? If 500 people pray to God here today, give thanks, then God would and will hear and bless all 500. God is not a man who has to tell you, please, wait a minute, now someone has said something too, I didn't quite hear you. That is us humans, but not God. God is spirit. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. Let us believe from our hearts today in the omnipotence of God. And let us submit to God and say, be thou Lord in my life. And then resisting the devil. And then he flees from us. And we walk with God our way. Much more could be said and read. I mean, we got a full measure from the Lord this weekend. I myself am thankful, thankful from the bottom of my heart for all the scriptures, for the instruction, for the teaching. I too am learning. As the preaching of the word is, so we are all being built up together as the body of the Lord. And may God be able to work in such a mighty way that everyone has their way with God. And please don't forget it. Everybody's way can be very different. I'm thinking here of an example of Brother Branham. There was a case, I think as early as 1949, that was brought to him in Vancouver. And it was a very complicated thing. And these believing people did not believe that doctors can also be blessed and used by God, and did not want to have an operation. And when this couple with a child stands before Brother Branham, then he simply says something like, thus saith the Lord, go to the doctor named so-and-so, have the child operated, and from today, on the eighth day, he will go to school. Thus saith the Lord. If I had said that, you would have said, oh, Brother Frank, you are lacking in faith. You have been preaching faith to us here, and now you have certainly missed the mark. Renounce all fanaticism, all that is not under the guidance of the Spirit, and let God have His way with you. That is the only way it will be good. Brother Branham himself went to the doctor every year for a general checkup. He even went to the famous Mayo Clinic and remained there to be observed, to know how his health was. You all know, every 7 years he was in trouble. You know his life story. Men of God are the most nervous of men that there are on earth. And he too had this nervousness. And what shall I tell you? He remained a completely sober man of God until the end. And when he put on his glasses for the first time and began to read, a sister who was sitting quite far forward, she thought, yes, now the monkey is laughing at me. Where is this man's faith by whom the dead were raised and so forth? Now he is wearing glasses. When are his teeth going to be fixed? And when his feet? Something like that. Beloved, why am I mentioning this today? We all grow older. And Jacob, once a prophet, went blind and prophesied, leaning on his staff, prophesying. Although blind, was he despondent? Oh no, oh no. He was full of living faith and living hope. Let us walk the path with God. And I say again, every walk with God is your own walk. You cannot copy it, and no one can ask the other what to do or what not to do. Each one go his own way with God. Only then are we really free people. If someone else rules over you and tells you that you may and that you may not, then you are enslaved and bound. Then you are not yet doing what you would like to do in your heart, but what someone else tells you to do. And here I think of the preacher who had a television set, but who was so clever that he didn't have it open, who most of them are, but he had a nice piece of furniture in which it was, and then he closed the door of it. And the others were not supposed to watch, but he was allowed to watch. Let's leave all these things and understand one thing. The way with God is your way, your own personal way, your guidance, and however it may be. May not one tell another what to do. Let each one be before his God and do what he can answer for before God. Paul even says, the one is strong and he eats meat and strong food, and the other is weak, he eats vegetables. Yes, no wonder. If he only eats vegetables, then he remains weak. Have you understood that? A steak is already a vegetable. There are people here who say that we also like refined vegetables in the form of meat. I'm just saying this in passing. Why do I say that? God wants to take all cramp from us and wants to bless us as free children of God, to overflow, to bless us from the riches of His grace. Praise the Lord. He has given us, I think, many a practical lesson this weekend, perhaps like never before. And if you can't digest them all at once, take your time. After all, there are people for whom what is said spontaneously or on the spur of the moment is not quite digestible. Don't worry, it will be fine. May the Lord our God have His way with all of us. May He confirm His word, glorify His name, and bless His own people from the riches of His grace. And I think we have also been able to take a beautiful step forward in the right direction this weekend. Let us pray for one another that God will have His way with all of us, and He will have it with us. Let us submit ourselves to God and not to any human system, but really only to God. And how is it done? By submitting to His word and to what He says in His word. No person can submit to God without submitting to the word. Only those people who have submitted to the word of God have in reality submitted to God. And then Satan must have respect before the word of God, before the name of Jesus Christ. And then he must flee from us, because the victory of God is our victory. And as I said before, faith is the victory that has overcome the world. May we believe according to the scriptures from today onwards and experience the Lord anew. Praised and glorified be His glorious name. Amen. Let us stand. Beloved, can we say that we too have touched Him? Then say Amen. But now I have something to say again. There was a woman in the Bible who spoke by herself, to herself, not to others. And if I only touch the hem of His garment, then I am healed. Is that true? Is there a second case? No. You see, everything as God gives it to individuals by grace. Nothing is imitated. Every experience with God is an original experience. It cannot be imitated. Once, four men uncovered a roof and lowered a man to the feet of Jesus. Did it happen again? Go through the whole Bible. Go through the whole Bible. And then there are those who can't cope with themselves. If they have the impression that God has not done for them what He has done for others. One question: how many did the Lord heal at this gate, Bethesda, at the pool Bethesda? How many? And how many were there? And who was there? Many cripples and blind. And who they all were? One he healed and went his way. May you ask why? May I ask why? No. Be thou one, and I will be one who shall experience the Lord today. Amen. This is the only way God can bless us and be with us. Now let us all sing the chorus once again, Oh, it is Jesus. And then let us together just thank the Lord, just thanking Him for what He has done for us. Just thanking. Faithful God, we stand here before you now, O God. We have heard your word. Lord, we don't want to be imitators, but worshippers who worship you in spirit and in truth, who lift up your name, who praise you, O Lord, for you have done great things. And you will do even greater things, O Lord, among your people, O Lord. We praise your grace. You have helped us in many things. You have also spoken wonderfully to us this weekend, O Lord. But Lord, we know you have the fullness. You can lead and guide the individual, O Lord. And you can reveal yourself, O Lord, as it is pleasing to you. For thou hast always done it so, O Lord. Therefore, receive the glory, receive the praise and the worship from all our hearts and mouths, O Lord. We thank thee, we worship thee, we praise thy name, which is above every name. Hallelujah. Lord, here are your people, the flock of your hand. You have redeemed them. You have bought them with your blood, Lord. Therefore, they offer you praise and honor and worship. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, which is above every name. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb.